You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What it is, what's up, and welcome everyone to Faces and Feels. I'm your host, Rafe Houston, and today I am joined by a very special guest. You might know him as the commentator with the most stones in wrestling. You might know him as the one and only Peapod. That's right, it's Chris Dayer, aka Peapod from Ruthless Pro Wrestling and anywhere else you want to hear an angry bald man call wrestling. What is up, my dude?
Rafe, it's an absolute honor, and I'm gonna put you over right now because like you have been like one of my favorite wrestling podcasts and podcasters to listen to for like the last few years.
Thank you.
And I think you do an incredible job. I think you work very hard for what you do. I think you're an incredible individual. Thank not you, only man. Just a great supporter in the world of wrestling, but just like an A-plus dude. So it's an absolute honor to be a part of this show and be on today. So thank you so much.
Man, thank you so much. I mean, this is well and truly overdue. I mean, you and I have known each other for years. You're the reason why I met Chris Kohlenberg, like, and Ruthless and stuff like that, because you were reaching out, like, to do interviews for Ruthless and get him meeting people and stuff like that. And Chris is now one of my dear friends as well, you know? Like, so if you hadn't, you know, been looking for opportunities like that and working with Ruthless and stuff, I probably would have never really met those guys. So, yeah, I honestly would take the opportunity to say a lot of the same things about you, my man. And we're obviously close friends now and we message each other very regularly. We're internet besties, as you say. And so it's well and truly overdue, and we've talked about doing it for so long, like, and hanging out, but then, you know, life gets in the way. My wife has to have a gallbladder out. You have to have a gallbladder out. Yeah. You know, like, everybody just had to get all the gallbladders out of the way. We had to get, you know, any unnecessary body parts removed and repaired, and then now we can finally sit here and just have a friendly chat. It's going to be awesome.
Well, it comes from my broadcasting background, and it's always that, you know, how do you spread the word around? And you know, a lot of wrestling podcasts can, you know, feel like a really big, and like, this is not a dog on anything or everything. I'm all for about podcasting. I'm all for everybody expressing themselves and everything, but a lot of wrestling podcasts end up being like a real, like, recap show of like what's on television and everything, and I just like, I don't want that. So like, I came across, it was right about the time I think it was our show Bumps in the Night, because you did an interview with Insane Lane, and at that time I didn't know like the history and everything about Lane and everything. I was still relatively new into the world of deathmatch and indie wrestling, and I'll tell my background in a little bit, I'm sure. And I came across your interview, and I thought it was done really well. And as a former broadcaster myself, or a current broadcaster, as a former radio broadcaster myself, and a person who've interviewed people, I really liked how you interviewed people. I thought it was a very good conversation, and much how I do my interviews with people in the past. It's just a conversation with microphones. And I really enjoyed what you did, and I really liked the information. It helped me as a wrestling, you know, broadcaster, to getting your background information on somebody like that. So it was an incredible help. And I go, hey, there's this podcast. They're out of Australia. They're doing rad things, but they've interviewed a lot of good people, and the dude is, you know, doing a good job. You should reach out to them. And then it's just grown and built from there. So it's lovely. It's wonderful. That's what wrestling should be, is like connecting people from literally across the world for stuff. Like, you're literally doing this in the morning, and I'm recording this in the evening on a Friday evening and the Saturday morning for you. So that, like, that's great. That's awesome.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that, because being a podcaster or being any kind of internet content creator, it can be a pretty thankless task, you know what I mean? And especially here in Australia, nobody knows what I fucking do. You know what I mean? Like, that they do. My friends don't listen to this. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like a thing that I sort of chip away about. you know, by myself, you know, and obviously I've had amazing help from my wife and support from her, and there's local people like the dude Where's My Ring crew, where I've started, you know, doing that, and they gave me the opportunity to do commentary and the Deathmatch Down Under crew and things like that. But that, you know, that was a long time sort of coming and grinding away and just doing these interviews because I just wanted to have conversations about the things I enjoy. You know, because it's like I can only scream at my wife about how cool something is so many times before she's like, "What? Whatever, man, I don't care." And it can be hard to continue that motivation because it, like, wrestling is the kind of thing that you fall in and out of. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's just nothing really for you, and you're like, "Man, I'm so fucking burnt out on this." You know, and then you know, different scandals happening in wrestling, different things happening, and you're like, fuck, I lose energy with this shit and why do I even do it? But it you end up having like another conversation and you push through it and you dial up somebody and you stare at a stranger or somebody from the other side of the world and you start to have a conversation and then you remember very quickly why you do it. You know, I always think I'm going to be tired. Like, I'm always like, oh, fuck, it's so early in the morning. Like, going to do this. I'm sure they're lovely, but I just can't be fucked or whatever. But the moment it like lights up and starts going, I'm like, I'm so glad I pulled my corpse out of bed to come and do this because, you know, it always ends up with a genuine connection.
And it's awesome. And it's an amazing thing. And like, I got into wrestling myself because I was really younger and I had a very staunch 8:30 bedtime and as a kid.
Yeah.
And like that literally went to the point where until I was in high school and then it moved up to 9 o'clock. Oof. So, you know, like I was a real big party animal when I was younger. My father at the time, he owned a restaurant and he would close up shop and everything. And then he would be home right around that WCW Nitro was on. Mm-hmm. And I got to see the first like half hour Nitro. And this is like, and I couldn't tell you how old I was at that time, but I was old enough to watch wrestling. Mm-hmm. And then I got into around middle school is when I actually actively watched it once myself, really kind of around the time that a lot of people that I knew was falling out of it. It was the big storyline was DX and Triple H marrying Stephanie McMahon. That was the big,
my wife and I got married in that same drive-through in Vegas.
Oh, hell yeah. That rules. That's hilarious.
I was like, got to go through that date rape drive-through.
Right?
And, so fucked.
And a lot of people were getting out of it. And, you know, I really enjoyed it. And I started watching on TV. And my very first live event that I went to, it was the WWF Raw that Vince McMahon announced that he bought WCW, and then there's a McMahon on the end of that check, but it's Shane McMahon, and I was at that Raw for that event. So like that's my like little feather in my cap.
That's so cool.
There I got into more and more wrestling, and then I remember like racing back home on the first day on the very, very first episode of TNA Impact on Fox Sports Network in America. And, you know, I was really excited for that. And then in college, I got to meet up with a lot of friends and a lot of people that, you know, really enjoyed wrestling. And I even did a little bit of college radio and we did a college radio show, a wrestling show called Capture Suplex Radio. Uh-huh. And I met some of my closest friends through that. And then, you know, I had a falling out, my falling out with wrestling. It was unfortunately with one of my friends who was a part of that group, unfortunately, unexpectedly passed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And no, I'm sorry. No, it's all right. It was, just, you know, health issues and things like that happened. And, you know, I fell out of wrestling because that was like a part of me died. And also at that time, I just wasn't into watching it, but I watched like everything during college. And, you know, I learned more about independent wrestling and I learned more about like Japanese wrestling. Like I was showing off the other day, like, and I think I showed you in a message, like old Dragon Gate signed photo books that I had, and I have an old 8x10 from Kota Ibushi from a Ring of Honor show that I went to before. And you know, I was watching that, I was watching England stuff and everything, and I was, you know, checking out all this other wrestling stuff, and I'm getting blown the hell up by my friend and I need them to stop. So anyway, I was really enjoying all the stuff, all the wrestling and everything. And then when my friend passed, I fell out of it. And then it was right around All In is when I got back into wrestling. And because I thought it was like, I still follow it a little bit, but you know, I knew about like the Bullet Club and I knew like, you know, who's who a little bit, but I wasn't like actively going on my way to watch it. Like I knew the names a little bit. And then I watched All In and like that immediately gave my spark back to wrestling. Cause I thought it was just phenomenal. And then I got involved with RPW and now here I am, you know, 3 years later in the independent scene and calling multiple companies now. And yeah. And like some of the plans like that we have for Ruthless Pro and, you know, beyond, and I'm not going to reveal our hand right now. Obviously Chris would have me, my head on a pike, but you know, we're really excited to do this. And it's just a wild thing that like I'm near 40 and like kid me would be mega excited for
just,
this.
Just blown away with, you know, where it's gotten to.
Oh, yeah.
How did you step into commentary? Because obviously you'd done like the radio shows and stuff, but how did you meet Chris and branch into that? Because when like, you know, we all first met and stuff like that, like you were still really new to like the commentary and Chris was very like, I absolutely believe in him and he's finding his feet and he's going to be awesome. Like, you know, how did that conversation come about? How did you end up doing it?
So it's funny thing. It's actually ironically thanks to COVID, and I say that because a little bit in 2020 before everything you know hit the fan, I interviewed and I brought in Chris on my radio morning show because I was a alternative rock station morning DJ and I Peapod in the morning. Very simple. It was fun. I played Nickelback songs and then I had funny stories and then I would bring in local people to help like support like the community and things like that. And I'm like, I like wrestling. I like what these cats are doing. They got a show, their very first show coming up in March of 2020. And it's going to be great. It's going to be fun. I'll bring them on and we can talk about the card and everything, get people excited and hopefully move some more tickets. And that's where I first met Chris about it. And then obviously COVID happened and everything. In April of 2021, I left the radio industry. I kind of reached a point in my career after 11 years being a part in Northwest Ohio, part of a corporate company that is the number two company in American radio named Cumulus Broadcasting. There's two of them. There's iHeartMedia and then there's Cumulus Broadcasting.
I know.
iHeartMedia. Yeah. Yeah. So iHeartMedia, what used to be called Clear Channel, but the company iHeartRadio bought it. And like now they become iHeartMedia and now it's a global brand. Cumulus is the number two corporate company in America. And I reached a point where I just kind of hit my ceiling and I decided to leave the radio industry and venture out in some other markets. And since then I've bounced around, but I'm currently at a nice job currently as a marketing director for a place. And during that time, right when I left radio, my former commentary partner, Stoney Schiavone, goes, "Hey, how about you join us in RPW? We could use another man. We can use your broadcasting skill. We can use kind of, you know, because at that time I was still like local area famous, quote unquote. I mean, you know, a lot of people understood my name. I never would consider myself local area famous. I would never say that I was famous, but a lot of people who have told me
you're like what we would call. So I'm from Perth, Western Australia. You would have been what we call a personality. So like I am somewhat of a personality within the circles that I move in because I was like in a prominent band for like 10 plus years, you know what I mean? So I still will go out and people will recognize me from that, you know, if they were a metal fan in that kind of era, you know what I mean? And then now sort of with the the wrestling and the podcast are now sort of in that scene as that grows. I'm a bit of a personality within that kind of thing because I'm a pretty distinct sort of looking person. So my wife's like, I can't fucking take you anywhere because you've always got somebody trying to talk to you about something, some of this dumb shit, right? And so you would have been the same thing. It's like within your area, within that genre and that fucking box, you're the dude that like they recognize, you know?
I was doing stuff. I was doing stuff with the music scene. I would be a big purveyor of, inviting people on the radio, my radio show that like, you know, a lot of radio stations would say, or a lot of radio shows go, are they buying advertising or whatnot? Well, we're not going to put them on for free. Why?
Yeah, sure.
And I'm like, that's the dumbest idea. Like radio, corporate radio is filled with old heads.
Yeah.
And,
they're giving you content. They don't understand. They're giving you content and then you're mutually promoting each other. And
correct. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, hey, I was on this show. I was on the radio. And then people can understand and know more about your brand for free. And it costs you nothing to get to it. And that's what I always loved about radio is like accessing and having a platform for others to, help tell their story.
Absolutely.
Much like that I do now for wrestling. But Stony Schiavone, brought me on and he's unfortunately not part of us anymore. And, things happen, things change. But like, I joined in and I talked to Chris and I go, hey, Stony connected me with you. Are you interested in having me on? I'd love to be a part and help out. And he's like, we're still in our infancy. This is really like a labor of love. If you really want to be here, you're going to be here. And I go, I got my bills paid. I got a 9-to-5. I like wrestling. I like talking. I like helping good people. You want me on? I'm on. I'm in. And from there, like, we've done a lot more. Like what we've done in Ruthless Pro Wrestling has been incredible in the few years we've been around.
Yeah.
Like, I truly believe that we have something special, not only on the independent scene, but in the deathmatch scene as well. Especially right now in 2024, I think we are, one could say we could be potentially one of the top three companies in the country.
Absolutely.
I don't want to blow smoke up our own ass. I could be having a big head because of course I'm part of this promotion. I'm going to pump us up.
I don't think you're speaking out of turn. And I think as well, like, what I think an advantage that Ruthless has for the future is consistency. And I think also Chris himself, because he's a very put together person. He doesn't have beef with nobody. He doesn't engage in that. He is also a man who works full time and has his bills paid and doesn't give a fuck. He's just like, I want to do this cool thing. And he's just not about the drama. You know what I mean? And so he definitely has the ability and the drive to keep pushing it to greater and greater heights, where I think some others get sidetracked by all the bullshit. I can't see him doing that. Like, it's just not really who he is.
You talk about a lot of like brother in the independent wrestling scene, and like a lot of people are like, what can I get out of you until, you're not worth it anymore. I care about that man. There have been many times that I have, I've helped him get home from whatever situation it is. I've helped him when he felt down. I have been there in his corner for a lot of, personal drama.
Sure.
I've been there from the stress of wrestling. I love that man, and I would do a lot for him. Mm-hmm. And I work hard for him. And I am a team player no matter where I am, but like he is the one that really opened the door for me. And now with my schedule growing and me actively trying to work on my commentary and doing more with other companies, I will always keep RPW as number one.
Yeah,
they will always take priority no matter what.
Absolutely. No, he's a great dude, man. And I feel the same way. He's had more than his sort of fair share of rough spots and sort of personal tragedies and things like that. And I always, try and, keep up with him. Just send a message now and then, make sure he's good and stuff, because he's somebody I really value. And I think he's like a great person. So I always think that you guys, like that sort of family, that core nucleus that is Ruthless, is really strong. And then also you guys have, obviously, unfortunately, Stony has left, which I really enjoyed chatting to him the couple of times I did. But you've got John Bullard involved now as well, like on commentary, and he's another great driven person, you know, so I think that could only help too.
I was blown away the amount of time that you spent talking about me, and I will spend the same amount of time on that about John, because I think John is an incredible individual. He is a great mind. I have learned so much from him, not only just on wrestling and commentary, but just learning how to have inner peace about stuff, and a little bit, and I'll get a little real for a moment and everything. Towards the end of 2023, my wife was diagnosed with cervical cancer. Had to deal with a lot of that issues, and that, during also that time, I actually ended up getting fired from my one job and actively getting another job at the same time. So like, I was a mess. I was mentally and emotionally a mess, and I kept that information to like very few people. And you know, I said it to our internal crew at RPW. I kept that with John. I believe I shared some stuff with you as well.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't make posts about it. I didn't give updates. And you know, we recently put on social media that, hey, you know, my wife is clear. You know, she got a scan a few weeks ago, over a month ago, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything is good, clean. She'll get follow-ups every 3 months until, you know, until they say, okay, come back in 6 months, come back in a year or whatever.
Sure.
And she's right now still working on just, you know, rehabbing her body to get back to 100%. It was at a point where it was, you know, it was very treatable and curable, and it was just a lot of radiation and low grade chemo, so she didn't like lose all her hair and everything. Mm-hmm. I unfortunately made a bad joke to try to make her feel better, because that's how I sometimes deal with trauma, and said, "Hey, you know, during this there can only be one bald person here, and that should be me." So, I told that joke maybe a little tad too early. Yeah. Now thinking back of it, it's kind of funny, and we can laugh at it now.
Yeah.
But you
didn't
know,
go over at the time.
Yeah, but John Bullard, it was an incredible person to talk to and be with, and he's guiding me through a lot of this. He's connected me with people and ideas to work and hone my craft and everything. He got me connected a little bit with Walker Stewart from New Japan, and I recently did kind of a mini seminar class chat, I don't know what you want to call it, with him, and
yeah,
I learned
you
a lot from
about that, which is really interesting, you know.
Yeah.
Like I know like Walker's sort of one of John's kids, you know what I mean, like they're really connected and stuff, and yeah, I think that would have like a lot of benefit. That's the kind of thing that I should probably look into, considering I also scream at wrestling, but also have no real experience or training other than I just drink beers in a bar and yell at it, you know?
I mean, and it's great and works for you. And I love Dude Where's My Ring. I think it's so fun and it's very interesting. And the cast of characters you have in the Perth Australian scene is absolutely wonderful, and I loved King Shaheel. I thought
they're
he was
great,
fantastic.
Shah's so great.
he's great. I think Jared Slate is also just an absolute badass.
Don't you think if he was anywhere in the world, like Slate would be a deathmatch superstar, right? Like
100%.
Yeah. Like, did you watch Deathmatch Down Under's Dream Tournament? Did you see him in that?
I have not watched that yet. I still need to like sit down and watch it. And obviously, of course, Joel Bateman. I love Joel Bateman. He's been here a few times and he's been great and great individual. But yeah, like the Australian scene is popping up. But no, I did not watch
that
Dream yet. I need to sit down and watch
that's
it.
That's on IWTV. And talk about like, that was sort of like their last tournament they did, but Dream 3. But talk about a star-studded fucking tournament. You know, you had Neil Diamond Cutter in it. You had Clint Margera in it, Joel Bateman. And yeah, we rocked up like Team Dude Where's My Ring, right? Because like my wife and I were there, Michelle came over, like a lot of the like Axton and the Great George, they weren't in the tournament. They just like came, you know, over for it. And then Jared Slate, Felix Young and James Hartness were all in the tournament and things like that. And yeah, they absolutely showed out. Slate was they were all good in it, but Slate specifically, he's just so charismatic and just such like a big, powerful dude that like it's
yeah
I can't say enough great things about those guys. And he he's somebody who's been in the Perth scene. Like he's trained by Lance Storm. You know what I mean? Like he's only been like overseas once in his life, and it was like to do that. You know,
wow.
And he went over there, and they were going to do some wrestling dates and stuff after the training finished. And then the guy he was traveling with got injured, and so he brought him home. He came back to Australia, and then has been here since. And like he has been like on top of, you know, around the Perth wrestling scene as long as I've known it's existed. And he's a very good wrestler, you know. And then when Dude Where's My Ring came up, he was the first person to put his hand up, and he's a fucking, there's no other way to describe him, but absolute mad cunt. You know what I mean? Like he's at the bar that we mostly film at Seasonal Brewing, there is a patch on the ground in the concrete that is permanently stained with Slate's blood. They have to put a table over it because like it was so brutal. I was like, are we just going to say this is a red wine stain or what are we doing here kind of thing? Because he's just a weapon. I mean, I remember at Bad Lads, he tried to staple barbed wire to his own chest. Like he had like a length of barbed wire and was like trying to staple it onto his own chest. And we're joking, we're like, that's not industrial enough, a stapler. That's never going to work. And they like splashed on. I think it was his match with Axton, Axton's first, and I think only death match at this stage. But yeah, he's a crazy person. And Dude kind of fell in my lap sort of in the way that Ruthless fell in yours, you know, and I'm so glad I got to be a part of it, and I look forward to what we're going to do because I also, like when you say talking to your kid self, like, oh, yeah, you'll be involved with wrestling or you'll call wrestling and stuff like that. I never thought that would happen, you know, like, and I had no way in and didn't know anybody, and then I did a dumb show on the internet for quite a while and you meet a few people and then suddenly you're like screaming at wrestling.
Right. And that was the biggest thing. It's just like, I connected with Chris before and, you know, now I've joined here and then I've called international talent. Mm-hmm. I've called moments that like, it still drives me crazy that like, it's a thing that like wrestlers will show clips of a match or something. And then you'll hear my commentary on it and everything. And I just, I'm like, what is my life? Like I have I'll admit I have a like really bad, you know, imposter syndrome. Mm. So I never think I'm good enough for, you know, fuck all, to be honest, excuse my language. But you know, I have a hard time, you know, realizing that like, yeah, maybe I'm worth it and everything. And like that more and more I'm getting into stuff, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I can really I'm on to something. And like, I impressed Walker because, you know, and it's maybe I had a leg up because of my broadcasting background and everything, but like that only helps you so much. It only helps you with like how to hold the microphone and how to present yourself and how to present your voice and everything. It's more than just that. It's more than just calling moves and everything. It's getting that feeling and everything. And he's just like, you're calling independent wrestling, which sometimes could be notoriously have bad commentary. And then on top of that, you are in deathmatch, where a lot of times it's not the best of commentary. You have realized to step your game up and been above on a lot of that. Here's how now you can hone your skills better.
That's
here's
right.
how you can do this. Here's how you can, you know, we went through our recent show, Miasma, that's available on IWTV, cheap plug, that you, you know, go watch it. Subscribe now. We were going through a matches and we were like calling it live. And then like he would pause it and go, okay, this is what you did. This is what you could do better. This was, you did this moment really cool and everything. And it's more about telling the story and getting people involved and giving a background to stuff. Because sometimes a lot of it, it's just this guy's facing this guy. You know, Chris will only tell me so much. Mm-hmm. I will only know so much until the day of the show. And even then during the show, sometimes the Chris will do a bait and switch on me for a reaction because he wants that live reaction. So the reaction that you are hearing from me is legitimate and it's great. I hate him for it sometimes, but it's great because, you know, the fan of me is excited. The, you know, broadcaster professionalism on me hates it because I've already been told one thing. I have notes saying one thing and all of a sudden now I got to switch on the fly, which It happens. That's mm-hmm. card subject to change is more than just for wrestling. It's for life itself. Yeah, so, you absolutely. Know, that's what it is. But it's amazing what we're doing right now. It mm-hmm. really is.
Exactly. And like the internet as well, like the fact that it can open up an opportunity like that to have a conversation with somebody like that to, mm-hmm. and to also like, you know, call wrestling in post and do stuff, you know, like I had the opportunity to call with John Bullard from America, mm-hmm. Andrew Crammon from Scotland, and me from Perth calling a Scottish wrestling company. You know, like that is stupid, right? Like it's so dumb, but like I think I haven't pushed on the commentary stuff because I'm like, well, I'm in Perth. I'm fucking so far away. Who's going to be interested? And then I'm like, well, actually, maybe I could apply myself to this because I can kind of do it anywhere, really. Yeah. I mean, not always the live stuff, depending on that, how that, I mean, with the right setup, you can. But I mean, not everybody's recording stuff live anyway. So there probably is like an opportunity to do more, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then that's what I'm trying to push myself, you know, because I only have, you know, I work, you know, 8 to 5, you know, I have a wife, I have family, I got little ones that are at my house constantly. So, you know, I can only do so much and, you know, and traveling and things are expensive right now.
Yeah.
You know, everything's
right
expensive
now, like, right now. Forever.
But yeah, forever. But everything's expensive. Traveling's expensive. Everything. I mean, like we recently went to New Jersey and boy, did that give me a kick in the balls in my wallet.
Yeah.
And, you know, but still it was like, it was worth it for all the cool things. And I called a show with Ron Neamey, who's an absolute legend.
Great. Yeah.
And fantastic individual and upright individual. And, you know, I was calling, you know, Matt Tremont. I'm calling matches with like Schlack and, you know, Clint Margera and Joel and Danny Darko and like all these international talents. I've called Abdullah Kobayashi. I've called Toshiyuki Sakuda. You know, I've, you know, Atticus and Otis like this. I'm calling all these mm-hmm. insane, crazy big names and international names and like huge followings, and I'm just like, I'm a dude who calls himself a vegetable. That's it. Like, I don't know. How do I get this opportunity? It's wild. It's wrestling. It's great. It's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah. We should call a show one time. That would be crazy.
We should call a show today. I want to call a show with you.
If anybody needs post commentary and want Peapod and I on it, hit us up. Slide into the DMs. We'll do it. We'll record it at 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning. It'll be fine. Well, 9 p.m. on a Saturday.
Let me call a dude where's my ring.
Yeah, exactly. We'll go do it in post.
we'll do it in post. We'll have to do it in post, but I would love. Like that would be an also awesome dream is to like travel mm-hmm. internationally and mm-hmm. do this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm in the Midwest. Like the farthest I've gone west is like Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and that's not very far. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't had the opportunities to do more. So hopefully like wrestling will give me the opportunity. It's not like I don't want to travel. Yeah. Let me say that. It's just time, money, energy, you know, prevents me from doing that.
I mean, so, real life makes that hard, you know, especially when you're like, you know, an older dude, like we mm-hmm. are, you know, you have responsibilities and things like that. So you can't always just get in a car and, you know, fuck off and, you know, quit your job.
I got
and
a friggin' mortgage.
Yeah, when I was in a band for 10 years, I you know, would just quit a job if I wanted to go on tour or, you know, or whatever. Like, who cares? Like, I'm on the road and it's just me and it doesn't matter and blah, blah, blah. But, like, you know, now it's like, yeah, mortgage, wife, responsibilities, things like that. Yeah. So if I can line stuff up, we absolutely, you know, will travel for wrestling and do so many times, you know, in our trips to Japan and the US and things like that, but and to over East constantly. But, yeah, I mean, reality is that there's probably, and also for the promoter or whatever, it probably, you know, it might be more viable to arrange commentary through, you know, by post through the internet, you know. Like you could just get it done and get a team done and you don't have to pay for their trans or their accom or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's manifest this. Let's 2024. Manifest it. Rafe and Peapod, let's go.
Yeah, let's make it happen. Exactly. Faces and peas. I don't know.
We'll think of the name.
That's not the name, but we'll work something out. We'll work something out. So anyway, as we cruise along here, let's do the thing that I normally start the show with. And for the first time, we'll do it as we head to the end, where you can tell me about, you know, you obviously talked about your – your man, you know, putting on Nitro and you're seeing the first half hour. Yeah. But who were the – do you remember who the first face was that stood out to you? Who was, like, your favorite wrestler?
I mean, Roddy Piper was always an energetic and charismatic person. I always would be interested in The Rock, obviously. Mm-hmm. I was always interested in the wrestling the person that was always interested in the microphone. It was always good that those passionate promos, you know, the something that will draw you in. And sure. You know, Piper had that style. The Rock has that style and everything. Mm-hmm. Those are the two, like, that always, you know, even to this day, I'd still consider, you know, one of my top favorites, you know, as I gotten older, you know, and I like the art of wrestling itself and the technical aspect. Obviously, Bryan Danielson, you speak very highly of him. I always loved Nigel McGuinness when he wrestled, and I'm still holding out for one more. That Ring of Honor match in the UK, combining the Pure title and the ROH world title.
Yeah, there's a documentary on YouTube about that. And, like, I didn't watch it when it happened, but I watched that documentary, and that's crazy.
Yeah, and that was literally almost like the start of the downfall of, unfortunately, McGuinness, because he was crazy for what he did, and he hit himself
crazy
way too
committed
hard.
To it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, I enjoyed those. You know, a lot of the Japanese wrestling, you know, has always been very interesting to me. I mean, even in the States, when I was getting learning more about the independence and everything, you know, I've openly said this, I'm a big Ricky Shane Page fan, because I remember Ricky Shane Page back when he was doing small town indie and wearing a mask, and he was part of a tag team called Faith in Nothing for Cleveland All Pro Wrestling, you know.
He was looking like Spawn, right? He had that sort of
light, it looked like Spawn, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I followed Ricky in his career, and now the opportunity, I've called a handful of Ricky matches now, and, you know, and Faith in Nothing, and, you know, and while the day of this recording is in June, you know, coming, you know, later in July, you know, when it comes out, depending on when you listen to this, or it's soon to be coming out, I'll have an opportunity to actually call a Faith in Nothing tag match, because we tentatively scheduled for RPW in July, an RPW tag title match. So I you know, I'm very excited about that, you know, and now, like, I've always been drawn to wrestling and wrestlers that do a very good job in telling stories on the microphone. I love Eddie Kingston, for example. Love Eddie Kingston. I think Atticus Koger and Otis Koger put so much effort in those promos that you see on social media, everything. And another one that I think more people should pay attention to, if they have not already, is Judge Joe Dredd. I think Dredd is a fantastic, another one of those, you know, very interesting, very methodical, the way he speaks, the way it's presented on social media. These people are not doing a car promo. They're doing, you know, they're actually putting some work into the presentation and everything. It's independent wrestling. It's small town wrestling, small town, quote unquote, wrestling, you know, where, you know, a sell-out show is, you know, 200-300 people, but, you know, it's not the same as television wrestling, but that doesn't mean you can't present yourself and work very hard to make those 200-300 people and the people who are watching all across the world because of the internet and streaming a big deal. And that's how I kind of hold my commentary as well. I'm calling obnoxious things to, like, the outside world, you know, like that clip from World Star that just showed recently, that Circle Six show of Hoodfoot and Otis and a chair on fire. Like, I call that stuff. I call light tubes. I call gusset plates. I call some gnarly shit in the way. And I present it in a very sportsmanlike way. Because, you know, and I treat it as like a very professional setting, because, you know, I'm calling this action, and it's my job to pull and help pull the person in, with a lot of this wrestling. So I need, you know, someone who should be engaging and be interested and know the why about everything. So that's the biggest thing. So that's all. I've always been drawn to, like, those type of wrestling, you know, either like real hardcore, like inside great wrestling. You know, I love the over the top violence. I love a good flippy show. I just love wrestling in general. But like, I always appreciate the promo work, the promo packages. You know, being a broadcaster myself and, you know, and part of the radio industry and building some of that stuff, like I'm always interested in like how the graphics look and how the poster comes out and, you know, how somebody is sounding with stuff. So, you know, I've always enjoyed that. So that's what I've always been drawn to.
The aesthetic and all that is super important. Like even how the room looks, like the lighting, mm-hmm. the, you know, all of that, like you can without like, you know, if you know what you're doing without like a crazy budget, without, you know, all these things, you can make something look very professional. I mean, you said to me off mic, we were talking about the dude thing, just to bring, you're like, I love that it's like just this, you know, bar fight sort of thing, but it's presented right. in such like a professional way. And that comes down to like having a camera guy who knows what he's doing, you know, the lights mm-hmm. being, you know, where they are and all those things. And it looks like this super high end kind of thing. But at the end of the day, we're just like in a bar with a couple of lights on and a camera. You know, like it's nothing crazy, but it just comes off and looks like, you know, we have our shit together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I miss Dude Wears My Ring. I can't wait to see it back. I hope it works out.
Oh, we've got three shows in the bank that need to go online.
I'm excited for those.
Which, due to various reasons, I don't want to say it's my fault they're not online because it's not all the way my fault, but I do need to record the commentary. Adam and I are actually doing that this week. So get that knocked out. So we've got two of them to get knocked out. Then we've got the last show that we did, which I was going to ask you what you thought of it, but it's not even on fucking line. We had a really big show at a different venue. Mikey Nichols from TMDK was there and did one of the craziest spots that I've seen live. We're getting all that, so we'll have those next three shows up. And, yeah, our last show, what you're referring to, is had to get cancelled. That was due to problems beyond our control, but the team only found out, like, in the Monday leading up to the show on the Friday. And I don't know if it's been ironed out yet, but they were like, regardless, we're not going to probably be able to iron it out by Friday. And even if we could, we don't want to risk screwing over the people who bought tickets. Like where their week, you know, what they've been looking forward to for the week gets canceled on the day. They're like, we would rather cancel it, just not give everybody their money back and then, you know, goodwill and then do it. And then we still went to the bar that day and we put N64 No Mercy up on the big screen and we were selling merch and we're all drinking. All the wrestlers were there. Everyone was hanging out. We were playing darts, shooting pool, playing video games. And all the like fans still came down, you know, hanging out with everybody and stuff. And it was like just a great night for us all to have a night off and actually hang out together, not on a show. So it was like the what did we call it? It had like a funny name.
I forgot what it was called, but yeah.
It was Dude Where's My Show was what it was called.
Oh, that's it. Dude Where's My Show. That's it.
But it was like a free, show. And so, yeah, and it was cool. And we were selling the new Sayazawa shirt design for the first time. And
you're on it. You're on a Sayazawa shirt.
I'm on the shirt, which is like so nice. I didn't know that was going to happen. Like when, because obviously I'm friends with Say. And I had sort of done the back and forward because I really wanted to make it happen for Dude and stuff like that. And I was like wanting to sort out what the design would be. And yeah, Michelle insisted that like the original year one crew that were, you know, big parts of like the first year of Dude were on there, including myself and me and Dean Adam, who is the other commentator. Reese, the cameraman, is on there. Like,
oh, nice.
It's like the core group that is Dude. And all our names are on the back and stuff. It's really cool and it was sort of like really touching. So, yeah, we're very, very happy with what's going on with that. So, yeah, that cancel was purely to do with that venue. Like, so we just get it ironed out and we'll be able to go back there hopefully. And if not, there's always other venues, but we love
seasonal brewing. I can't wait. And I can't wait to see all that stuff. I think you all do a very big job and everything. And like, it's all the small things you get excited. Like, you never thought you would be on a shirt. When I was going to be a part in 25 with John Bullard's Chaotic Combat Wrestling, and he made a graphic of me, and I'm like, I'm just the commentator, and I got my own graphic. Yeah, and I popped.
Nice, isn't it? It makes you feel appreciated. I didn't see that coming. I was like, one of my goals for the podcast to one day was to do shirts, and I was like, one day I'd love to do my own Says Owl shirt. So I thought the only way it would ever happen is if I commissioned it, you know, and did like a Faces and Feels Say shirt, just, you know, at an anniversary moment or something like that, and paid for it myself. So the fact that it came much sooner than that, and it's such a cool, fun design, it is really special and really fun. So yeah,
we have an Osawa shirt from our first Inked in Blood show. It was the very first time we ever teamed up, and I still have that shirt, and I thought that was super fun. And, and now seeing him do all these shirts and everything, he seems like a real chill dude too. I think that's the chillest.
Yeah, he's a lovely person. He's so great. And he's so genuine. He does so many of these things. The quick story about the shirt: like, we kind of wanted to get them ready for the last show that we did before that one. But we needed to sort out all the details, and we were kind of a bit tardy in getting all that together. And so he was like, oh, when do you need it? And I was like, we were kind of going to hope to sell them in 2 weeks, but I don't think that's going to happen now. So you just take as long as you need, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, I'll work my very hardest. I'm like, please don't put yourself out. Like, it's probably not going to happen. We don't even know if we could turn around the print, you know what I mean, in the time. So whenever you're ready, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, I had it had the design in like a week. He was like, I felt it was my personal mission to get this ready for you. And I was like, no, I really meant genuinely don't do it, because the printer couldn't even get them ready in time. You know what I mean? By the time he got it. But he's a genuine person and a nice friend. And so, yeah, he really wanted to turn it around. He's a sweet person. I loved that he trusted me to do the interview with him. You know what I mean? That was his first English speaking interview. And he wanted to do it with a translator, and Yuki was like nice enough to lend her time and do it. But that was really special, like, to do his first English interview. I was very happy about that.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Meeting some of these people is just wild. Yes, like,
isn't it?
You know, I still kind of strangely get starstruck, and like, you know, and the more and more I get to know these wrestlers and these workers as actual people too. And I just, you know, I've played Magic the Gathering with Remington Roar. You know, I've had
that's awesome.
Genuine conversations with like Eric Dillinger, and like, you know, even someone like, you know, and you know, not to kill the business, kill kayfabe, but like Otis Koger is one of the nicest wrestlers I've ever met, ever. Like, he, you know, I remember one show, like, it was right around the time that I started a new job in January of 23. Mm-hmm. And he went out of his way to go, hey, how's the new job? How's your birthdays? Because like, my wife and I's birthdays are in January and everything. We had a show like, I think like a week and a half after our birthdays and everything. And he's like, how's everything going with you and everything? He took the time out to find me,
really nice,
talk to me and ask all of those things. And I that still hits me to this day. You know, there's never been a wrestler so far, knock on wood, you know, that I go, I hope I never work with that person again.
Yeah.
Every wrestler we've booked, and then it helps that we, you know, it goes back to Chris and like the environment we put in and everything. Like, we don't want drama. We don't want the bullshit. You know, we're here to put on some fun things. For fun people. Like, the deathmatch scene is already a niche market within a niche market of pro wrestling. So, you know, we're catering to almost to the same pool of people. It's very hard to get outside people into pro wrestling in general. Mm. Now get pro wrestling fans and then dive in even deeper and go, these people are hitting each other with light tubes and there's a lot of blood and gore. You want to go watch it?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to do it. So like, we want to just put on cool stuff and it's just fun. It's fun. And then like, I'm getting the opportunity to do a little bit more. I'm branching out a little bit in like Flophouse. You know, I mentioned about doing some more with Chaotic Combat Wrestling. I'm hoping to do more this year and some other companies, whether it's, you know, live or post-production. Mm-hmm. You know, Walker, when I was talking to him, he, you know, one of the questions he asked is like, what's your, some of your goals mm-hmm. in your doing wrestling? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I want to be like able to, like, if someone can like fly me out for a show, I'm like, that'd be really cool. Mm-hmm. That would be like a bucket list item. If I can do another show with, like, I did a show with Nick Maniwa, and I thought that was really cool. And I would love to do another show with him, you know, or Veda Scott. I absolutely adore her, and I love the work that she does. And like my ultimate goal, like, I'd love to call a show with Ian Riccaboni. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of my favorite current broadcasters when it comes to wrestling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when people ask like, what's your style, you know, kind of mirror, I kind of the closest thing I can say, I try, cause I'm me, mm-hmm. I'm Peapod. But the style that I guess, lack for a better term, emulate is Ian Riccaboni, because mm-hmm. I think Ian Riccaboni has that professional sounding style, but he also has that dry humor, but he also can have fun as well and get you hype and get you psyched and everything. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that's the style I kind of go for. You know, I just like, and I'd love to do more with Ron Neamey. Mm-hmm. I think Ron Neamey was an incredible opportunity, and, you know, I love John. And I'll continue doing stuff with John, and I can't wait to do more stuff with John for RPW or wherever else we've done. We've done a little bit of post stuff for a couple of companies out west, mm-hmm. For Hot Minutes. And I think we might be continuing to do that as well. But, you know, I'd love to do more with Ron Neamey, and just like anybody who's like interested in doing work,
yeah,
like,
getting, you know, in the reps,
drop in,
exactly.
Yeah, getting the absolutely. Reps. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. I can't get better unless I do more.
Exactly.
Commentating. So yeah. There you go. So
absolutely. Now that's awesome. I think that's great, man. Mm-hmm. Tell everybody where to find all the Peapod things, like how to follow you and keep up with everything you've got going on.
Yeah. And I've recently changed a lot of like my usernames and everything. So it's all in like the same brand. Mm-hmm. So you can reach me for booking inquiries mm-hmm. at Peapod Calls. The number 4 and the letter U at gmail.com. So Peapod Calls for You. And that whole phrase can be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and TikTok.
Is
Peapod Calls for You. There you go. I recently rejoined Twitter for like the umpteenth time, and I hate Twitter and so much, but it is a good way to connect with the wrestling audience mm-hmm. and everything. So I was like, fine, yeah. I'll join it again. Yeah. It's whatever.
I hate it.
It's whatever. It's. I feel like Twitter just it the worst vitriol of people mm-hmm. and hot takes, quote unquote, when it comes to wrestling or anything in general, just comes from Twitter. And it didn't really used to be. I mean, it sort of did, but like you can at least get through it. But I there's something about Twitter that I just don't like, but it's better connection than like a lot of other apps that do, especially for wrestling. Mm-hmm. You know, people can build storylines via Twitter as well, mm-hmm. or Instagram. I like Instagram better. Mm-hmm. You know, we can do more. And then I'm trying to experiment more with short form video stuff and like highlight stuff of some of my shows and everything through like TikTok. And then, you know, if you're rad enough, I'll add you on my personal Facebook and everything, but it's all Peapod Calls for You.
Go
check it out.
That's how you do it.
Connect. And that's how you do it. And that's how you connect with the loud, bald man who calls himself a vegetable. There you go.
There you go. That's too easy. So remember, it's number 4, not F-O-R, everybody. So
yes, it's the number 4 and the letter U.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Keep it nice and short.
There you go.
To the point.
I like it.
And then obviously you've got lots of stuff coming up with like Ruthless and different things like that. So we're going to be nice and busy.
We have a handful of shows coming up for Ruthless Pro Wrestling. We're recording this in the beginning of June. So, you know, coming up in July, we got Scum of the Earth. We have a special show, actually. I forget before that. We're teaming up with the POR stunt team, and by the time you listen to this, it could be already happened or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we have a show in June called Stunting on 'em. Mm-hmm. We're working with JJ Escobar and his crew mm-hmm. For a kind of very interesting 5 versus 5, individual matches. 5 of RPW's best is going to take on 5 of POR's best. Mm. And then some extra shenanigans. And also, if you're there live in person in Virginia, They got a metal band that sings about monkeys and want to dress up like monkeys called Banana Slamma. So it's a real band.
Yeah,
it's a real band. Chris always likes to try to do like one like weird ass show something out there. Mm-hmm. In 23, it was Whiteout at the skate park, No Ring skate park. And that was a band too. Last and a half.
That's great.
Yeah. And then so we got Stunting on Them. We got Scum of the Earth, and that's going to be at the world famous Berwyn Eagles. That's happening in July, and then August is King of the Kilt. That is our second annual deathmatch tournament. Mm-hmm. Very excited for that. We already announced a handful of people for that. We're also going to be teaming up with the good people at Flophouse, and I'll be involved hopefully with their show as well, because it'll be kind of the appetizer for the weekend with their show Bad Motherfucker. it's much like the graphics have like the wallet from the Bad Motherfucker movie. I'm blanking out the Pulp Fiction. That's it.
Yeah.
So, and that's going to be a lot of fun as well. And then, I think we got some other plans in the fall as well, for a couple of other places. That's not quite there yet, but we're going to get there sooner. We're very excited for everything. Follow Ruthless Pro Wrestling at ruthlesspro.com. And follow on all the socials and everything for that. For Flophouse as well, for all the other places that I do work for. I try to always promote and push out all the places that I'm going to be doing any kind of involvement to, or just people in general, like, you know, who are doing good things and good stuff. Like the world is tough some days. And you know, you got to support good people doing cool stuff and just have fun. Like, you know, let yourself have some fun. That's the biggest thing.
I'm so jealous when you say all these shows and everything like that, 'cause obviously I can't attend any of them.
Right.
I really wanted to actually try and come to King of the Kill this year, and my wife and I were seriously talking about it. I've kind of cooked it
now.
How
do we make this happen?
Well, I mean, go back in time and not break my wrist probably would be wicked. Yeah, kind of really sort of fucked it for me. You know, I'm doing all the rehab and making that work. It makes traveling sort of difficult and things like that. So that was kind of the main thing. I was like, fucking hell, that's kind of cooked it. But if not this year, which it probably realistically won't be, maybe next year would be great.
2025, let's go. Faces and Fields.
Yeah, Chris was really trying to convince me to come, and I really wanted to do it. But yeah, it's probably not on the cards now. But for anybody that is like me and can't get there and can't beat these shows live, you can catch all the Ruthless stuff live on IWTV as well. So get in there, get your subscription, get it checked out, and make sure you check it and follow Peapod. And that's it. And I think this has been a great, what I would like to call, first episode together, because I think we've gotten the preliminary interview stuff out of the way. And so if we ever hang out again, we can just talk
time
shit.
Time and place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whenever. You know I'll be in.
Yeah, he's 100%. I'll be in. He's 100%. I'm working on – I recorded an episode yesterday with my good mate Alex Castillo from Vinyls and Violence called Anything Goes. And it's a new concept for Faces and Feels, which is just like a non-interview show where we just talk shit, like what wrestling I've been watching, what music are we digging, what movies are catching, what shows we're doing. Exactly. That's the kind of thing you just drop into wherever. You don't need a lot of prep. It's not like a big official interview. I just wanted to sort of start to get away from needing to always be sourcing interviews and present them in that certain way. I wanted a little bit more laid back option on the feed as well. So I'm going to start doing that more consistently with him. But yeah, we can bring in guys like yourself, things like that. I think it'd be fun and I think people would enjoy it.
I have opinions about music and wrestling.
Exactly.
I'd love to.
I'm a white man with a beard. I want nothing more than to tell people my opinions about these things.
I'm a white cis dude with a microphone. Of course I have opinions about things.
I have many opinions about many things. And everybody's going to hear them because I have a platform. Absolutely. And you can follow that platform at Faces Feels Cast. Follow everything, Peapod. I've popped him. He's completely cooked. So I'm going to go ahead and end the show. Rate and subscribe. Listen or die. And remember, it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. Peace out, Peapod. Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Count Out Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy, and the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast, and you can check out the Count Out Network and all our sister shows over there at Count Out Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
My body is a roadmap of pain.
DeathmatchWorldwide.com, the official online merchandise store that is only for Deathmatch Wrestling. Featuring official t-shirts from No Peace Underground, John Wayne Murdoch, Akira, Madman Pondo, Zona 23, Neil Diamond Cutter, G. Rayburn, Schlack, Necro Butcher, and many more. If you are a deathmatch wrestler, promotion, manager, or platform, and are interested in joining the web store, send us an email to deathmatchworldwide@yahoo.com. Deathmatchworldwide.com for the violent view.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hello, my name is Jessica and I'm the host of Jumping Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan podcast. Join me and a guest each month as we cover all that went down in the ring, outside of the ring and everywhere else. Big title matches, tournaments, character arcs, storytelling, feuds and more. It's all covered on Jumping Knee Pod. Look out for a bonus episode every once in a while covering a variety of All Japan topics. So make sure you tune into Jumping Knee Pod. It's a new All Japan podcast for a new All Japan era.